Our blessed God and Father, we are saddened at the on our side of things to hear this brother nearing death's door on this side of glory, but we know, our God, that thou wilt soon receive him into thy presence, Lord Jesus. And so we just pray that thou wouldst encourage this dear saint, this laborer that has toiled for thee, and we just trust now that thou wouldst give him thoughts of thyself and comfort his soul and those of the family and encourage his heart. And we just thank thee for the love that he has shown towards many. And so we would just commend him to thee. And too, this would remind us of the solemnity of life, that it is at best very brief. And though it seems long in many ways to those that are younger, it is very short. And so we just pray now, there's a concern, the brethren here, that for one last time, that the word of God would be offered, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ would be offered, and that there is one here that's still indifferent to thy love, our blessed God, that thy, by thy Spirit, thou wouldst break that hardened heart, and that they might receive that love that is so longing to take them and to bring them into eternal joy and happiness. And so we ask help for the speaker, and for we're just thankful, though, that thy word is powerful and rich and can do its work despite the servant. And so we just look to thee now for this little time and ask this as we pray in thy Son's worthy and precious name, the Savior of sinners, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, I'd like to quickly and briefly talk about salvation's drama seen at Calvary and witnessed and evidenced in the two thieves there on the cross as the two responses to the work of the Lord Jesus. And before I do that, though, I'd like to read some verses in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Chapter 32. And verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they should would consider their latter end. Anytime a verse begins with, oh, I feel it's the heart of God pleading with men. Oh, earth, earth, earth. There's many verses in the Bible where it begins with, oh. And so we should listen to the heart of God. And he wants and implores you that they would understand this, what, that you would consider your end. Here's a dear brother going. He knows where he's going. He has utmost confidence, and many of us, too, have confidence of where he's going. We know in whom we have believed, and we have that confidence. But where are you going to spend eternity? Maybe there's some here. And it's been told so often, the gospel, over and over and over. I know in our family, a child often reproved, hardeneth his heart. That's the danger of hearing the gospel over and over again. You think, well, maybe some other time. I know I did. But you don't have time. You don't know about time. So where are you going to spend eternity? Consider it. Turn back one chapter, one page over there, the 30th chapter. Especially for most of you in this room who have been raised in Christian homes. Verse 30, verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. No, it's no good to know it headwise. You've got to do it. You've got to accept. You've got to take sides with God. Do it. Verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. God wants you to choose life. He's a life giver, and he wants you to choose life. But life is full of choices, but there's only one that really matters, and that's the one that you make about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only one that will have eternal consequences. Everything else is temporary, can change. But there's one choice you must make, and that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you may be apathetic, indifferent, put it off. You know, that's a choice. That's a wrong one. It's a wrong one. You don't know your time, but it is a choice, but a wrong one. And so a loving God implores you to choose life. The eternal word of God says that he that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not on the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's serious. That's awful. We don't even like to contemplate it, but that is the reality, dear one. The wrath of God will abide upon you. Well, let's turn to Luke 23, and I'd like to read just briefly the 32nd verse through the 43rd verse. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment and cast lots. They parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Now maybe you're saying, well, I'm not a malefactor. I'm, as it says here, a malefactor, but in Matthew calls them thieves. I'm not a thief. Well, I beg to differ with you. The Word of God says otherwise. Turn back to Malachi chapter 3, just the end of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye have robbed me. God says, you have robbed me. If you're not mine, if you haven't taken sides with me, you've robbed me. I like to think of the tithes of that which we give of our body, so maybe our natural life, and the offerings that maybe of the spiritual life. So you are a thief if you're not a child of God. You've robbed God. And that of the worst type. You're robbing God. Your very existence was given to you in this life. Life is a gift from God. But maybe you've used it for self. You've been endowed with talents and gifts, but you've used them for self. And maybe you've been blessed with good health and strength, but you've used it for self. Most of all, you've robbed God for communion and fellowship and worship. And that's what God wanted. The Father seeketh worshipers, and we owe that to him. Not out of constraint, but he wants a willing people. And so we have robbed God in many ways. We've wasted time and strength in the pursuit of disobedience and sin. So see in the thief a picture of yourself. In the sight of heaven, your condition is desperate, and your heart is as wicked as the thief. Let's go back to Luke. So at Calvary, we have three crosses. And it wasn't by chance that these were thieves. God could have, in his sovereignty, placed other criminals on the cross. But he saw to it that there was two thieves. And there was two responses to the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle. And I want you to vision yourself there at Calvary. Which side are you going to stand on? Which side are you going to stand on? The one thief, it says in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which are hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. reviling, rejecting. What a fool. He's about to enter eternity, and he's reviling the very Son of God, the one that could save him. And he's reviling, cursing the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle. What a fool. What about you? What's your response to the Lord Jesus? But there's another malefactor. He's repenting and believing. And that's a wonderful thing. That's what we want you to do. Repent and believe. Take sides with God. See the Lord Jesus in the middle as your Redeemer and your Savior. But you need to answer that question. Where are you? You need to answer that before God tonight or this afternoon. There's many in this room that are trusting and hoping and praying that if there is anyone here, that they'll be sheltering under that blood. But what must you do to be saved? We haven't got a lot of time, but it's seen very quickly here. And that's, God makes salvation simple. It's not hard. It's so simple. It's a gift. What's so hard about a gift? You just receive it. So salvation is not hard, but there is a few conditions. Verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. Dost thou not fear God? Fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God is light and God is love. God is holy. And this thief began by the Spirit of God to see his sin, to see his need. And that's the first start of your step towards God, is to fear God. God is wrathful. God hates sin. He cannot have in his presence. And so this dear one, by the Spirit of God, began to see in the Lord Jesus a Savior. And he says, and he rebukes the other one, dost thou not fear God? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And this one was beginning to see that. He takes sides. The second thing is to take sides with God. He says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. You need to take sides with God. You need to take sides with God against yourself. This thief realized practically that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Here he was, hung out on the cross with another malefactor in the Lord Jesus. He realized he had lived a life of crime. He was paying the price. Maybe you're not going to pay the price quite yet. Maybe you don't know. The Lord could come, but if you continue on in their sins, you might also by the government be judged and pay for the life of crime in jail or something. But this one was realizing practically that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Let's look at a verse in the book of Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Chapter 3. In verse 39, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man from the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Let us search and try our ways. This thief was beginning to search his ways. So he sees himself as a sinner. The question is, do you? Do you? If you do not see yourself as a sinner, really there's no remedy for you. A drowning man who refuses the life raft or the lifesaver, if he doesn't see himself as drowning, he's not going to receive help. So if you do not see yourself as a sinner, I pity you. Foolishness. The only thing that awaits you is the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth upon you. That's a foolish choice. Solemn. And you make God a liar and Calvary redundant. all the things that we hold precious and you know to be true are nothing. That's insane. That's insane. Don't delay. There's no reason to delay. That you benefit nothing by delaying. Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. This man began to draw nigh to God. This man, he says, has done nothing amiss. Isn't that wonderful? Can you think of the heart of the Savior there on the cross? Being totally misunderstood, as our brother said today, none to comprehend, none to understand, and yet there was. God the Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ a little foretaste of what his work would do, and he gave him this repentant sinner to encourage his heart. If you remember in the course of events, the only words he have heard so far is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He hasn't seen the Lord Jesus go through the 3 hours of darkness. He hasn't heard the centurion say, "Truly art the Son of God," or the veil rent, or the rocks rent. He hasn't seen any of that. He has only heard, "Father, forgive them," and seen how the Lord Jesus maybe looked at these ones that were railing on him, the compassion in his eyes, saw his bloody body. But that shortest sermon that our brother just said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What impact that had on that poor thief. Shortest sermon, but it sure had an effect upon that man. And that effect was, verse 42, the other thing you need to do, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, Lord, remember me. Lord, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Lord, how wonderful. It's a miracle. And really, salvation is a miracle. Just as much as our earthly life is a miracle, salvation's a miracle. This rotten thief that was the offscouring of society that the Romans said, "Let's get rid of," becomes a saint by the Spirit of God. So he confesses him as Lord. It's wonderful. That's all he heard. He saw firsthand, and we had those verses today in Isaiah 53. And you don't have to turn to, but I'll read them. Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And so he saw in the Lord Jesus this one that was atoning for him. And he cries, "Lord." And the response of the Lord Jesus is beautiful, and it's encouraging to our hearts. There's a verse in Isaiah 30. I think it's Isaiah 30:19. "He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." He will be very gracious. How quickly the Lord Jesus responded to this thief. How quickly. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18:32 says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." God takes no pleasure in the death of man. He created hell for Satan and his angels, and he has no pleasure in the death of man. Back in Lamentations 3, there's a verse in 57. "Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, Thou hast seen my wrong. Judge Thou my cause. Have you seen Him as your Savior? That's the question. Have you seen Him? He drew near. He's a drawing God. He will draw near. All you have to do is call. Call upon the name of the Lord, and He'll respond. He is gracious. But can you imagine the resounding joy in heaven when that thief took sides with God against himself and called this one, this suffering Savior, Lord? Joy in heaven. And you can add that joy tonight, not only for your brethren, but for glory in heaven, for God's glory, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior. Verse 42, it says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, God doeth exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. And here this thief, like that prodigal son, didn't know the heart of God. But the thief asked to be remembered in an earthly kingdom. But Christ assured him of a place in paradise. The thief asked to be remembered, but the Savior declared that he should be with him. Not just remembered. I have a Hindu friend that believes in reincarnation, and I asked him, he's a dear friend, a good businessman, and I said, well, what happens when you finally get spin off the wheel and this nirvana stuff? And he says, well, you float as a spirit in space. I said, well, that's kind of lonely in the darkness of space. What are you doing? I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. I said, in Christianity, it's a relationship. We're going to be with God, the Father, and His Son, and other believers. We're going to be in happy fellowship, not just floating around. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Him. And so this one received a response right away. So call upon Him. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much at all. How can you refuse such love? Choose life. Choose life.